No resolution is in sight on how Iowa will provide health insurance for more low-income residents. Today, both sides of the debate. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. All this week, IPR's Clay Masters has been talking with Iowans who receive Medicaid services to get their input on the debate between Governor Branstad and the Democratic-controlled state Senate over expanding Medicaid. First, I'll talk with Clay and several Medicaid recipients. Then in the second half hour, we'll hear from the governor's health care policy advisor, Michael Busolo, and State Senator Pam Yoakum from Dubuque. What's your opinion on Iowa's debate over health care? Join our discussion after this news. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. All this week, IPR's Clay Masters has been talking with Iowans who receive Medicaid services. Perhaps you've heard some or all the parts of this series. This week, we've called Iowans on Medicaid, and it's in part to get these recipients of Medicaid's input on the debate between Governor Branstad and the democratically controlled state Senate over the question of expanding Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. Today, we want to wrap up the series by talking with several of the people profiled. Then in the second half hour, we'll hear from both sides of the debate. We'll talk with the governor's health care policy advisor, Michael Busolo, and also Democratic State Senator Pam Yoakum, a Democrat from Dubuque, and joining us for the hour. So glad to have you by my side, so to speak. Clay Masters, IPR's State House reporter. Hi, Clay.
Hey, Ben.
We want to reach out to our listeners, Clay, this hour and ask for questions, also opinions on Iowa's debate over health care that hopefully you've been following here right on Iowa Public Radio's news. How will it affect you? Will it? Do you know for a fact it will or won't? Do you support the expansion of Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act? Or do you think the governor's future vision of Iowa care is better? 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Clay Masters, so a showdown of sorts, I guess, between Iowa Republican Governor Terry Branstad and the democratically controlled Senate over expanding Medicaid. Remind us what this impasse involves.
Well, under the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, states have to decide to opt in or opt out of the expansion of Medicaid. Now, that's the joint federal-state health care program for low-income people. The feds would foot the bill for the first few years, then it rolls back to states picking up less of the cost than the feds. It's about a 90-10 split down the road. Republican Governor Terry Branstad and the Iowa House, which has Republican control, say you can't trust the feds to live up to their promise and funding. And the Medicaid system is a 1960s health care program. When you have obesity rates increasing the way they are, diabetes, list goes on of different illnesses. Senate Democrats say the Medicaid expansion would cover more people, provide better access, and cost less for those that are on the system. And so those are kind of the arguments that are playing out there.
Mm-hmm. And why did you decide to do this series, concentrating on talking with people who are current or current recipients of Medicaid?
You know, Ben, you spend a lot of time in the Capitol hearing the debate. The issue is difficult to cover and feel like you're providing the listeners an understanding of the topic. So this gridlock between the Senate and the governor's office, I wanted to get away and talk with people who are actually receiving these services, and not so much to hear about their opinion on the debate, which is interesting, and I talked to many of the people that we'll talk about or talk to on today's program, but just give people an understanding of who receives these services. Some were found through old-fashioned reporting, people that I talked to and got names from. Others I found through the IPR Insight Network, which is a new tool we have here at Iowa Public Radio. It's a way for us to basically crowdsource those that have signed up and to have their experience and expertise lend itself to our reporting. And we have a link up on our Facebook page right now, and there's a link on iowapublicradio.org. So I got all these different voices, all these different people that I had the opportunity to vet or talk to, and I felt like the four profiles that I provided or that were on this week kind of just showed the wide variety of people that already receive these services and gave a better understanding to the listener of, you know, what it's like to be on Medicaid and to hear a little bit, too, about where they stand on the issue.
Mm-hmm. Clay Masters, on Wednesday, your feature series focused on David Van Onn, and he is in the Des Moines studio with you. David, hi to you.
Hi to you, Ben.
You and your adult daughter, Mary, have been featured in this piece because Mary has cerebral palsy. She was featured on the feature. Remind us of your daughter's condition and how Medicaid played a role.
Well, Mary was born with athetoid cerebral palsy, and what it basically did was affect a movement of her arms and legs. So she has been tied to a wheelchair since basically day one of her birth, and she has been on Medicaid and now also on Medicare ever since that time. And so we have received lots of services through the Medicaid system, through teaching her how to speak, how to use her computer, how to run her electric wheelchair and she runs that by her head, mm-hmm. as opposed to by her hands or feet or legs or anything like that. So we've had lots of services.
And we heard certainly in that piece that your daughter Mary has a great sense of humor as well. Tell us, though, about your experience working in Medicaid with your daughter.
Well, there have been times where it's been extremely frustrating to try to get the system to move more quickly and in some cases getting the system to listen to the parent or my daughter. One of the things that is most readily misunderstood about her is that 15% of the athetoid cerebral palsy young adults or children when they're born have no problem mentally. And so her basic question or comment to everyone is that she is high functioning. So she understands about her health. She can relate to her health. And just to give you an example, we were in Iowa City because she needed some surgery down there. She had a list of everything that had happened to her medically and why she needed this. She had typed it out on her computer and took it with her to go give to the doctor and the facility. So those are now some of the things are very frustrating, but I must say also on the other side, some things are extremely rewarding. When she had her surgery in Iowa City, her body decided to go off center dramatically, and she immediately got the care that she needed in intensive care. We were there for 3 days. Great care, took care of her, basically listened to all of her comments. So, mm-hmm. There are both sides of that. I really think the big issue that comes out with any program, whether it's Medicare, Medicaid, whether it's understanding your income tax, whatever it might be, it's the educational part of that and the patients or the taxpayers' ability to investigate and look into those things and become educated.
I understand you also run a business, so you're especially attuned to the cost of medicating, the rising cost of health care in this. And tell us how that business experience and your experience with your daughter lead you to, well, look at this problem of the expansion of Medicaid here in Iowa.
Well, being a small business owner, of course, and having group medical plan, you're always looking at costs. And then we are in the health insurance. My daughter's also in the business, and we're in the health insurance business, and I have been for 27 years. When you see some of the claims that you help people negotiate through to get paid by the insurance carrier and so forth, some of these claims are astronomical, and you ask yourself, not in a derogatory manner, just how can it cost that much? But then, I can look at the other side of it, and being in the business side, I understand what the business owner goes through and so forth, but I look at being in that intensive care unit down at Iowa City and mm-hmm. all of the monitors, all of the equipment that's there, that stuff costs money. And it costs to educate people to run it and make sure it's doing the right thing. So, my business experience has taught me to look at this whole situation, I believe, in a more educated fashion, because at one time for 20 years I was an educator. And so I've had two careers, and I just look at it from an educational standpoint and the pros and cons of all of it.
Okay, so where do you come in? When you weigh all those things, do you support the expansion of Medicaid in Iowa under the Affordable Care Act, or do you think the governor's vision is better?
Well, I believe that the governor's vision is better, and here's why. I, in my health insurance business, I sell to small businesses and individuals the health savings account format, which thrusts the individual into understanding their health care and keeping track of what's going on and, you know, maybe quit smoking, maybe lose weight, do some of those kinds of things. And so I like the governor's plan. Now, there are some intangibles in there that we have no idea how that will be affected. I like the governor's plan. I do not like the federal government coming in and creating more bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. We have so much regulation in every industry. And I can give you an example for I'm involved in Medicare supplement policies. In order to be qualified to sell those, I have 40 hours of education I have to go through every year. And so that's just some of the government regulations that we go through. Not saying that I shouldn't have to go through those. That's not the point. It's just an example. So I'm more on the side. Now, the father in me coming out says this. I prefer not to add 60,000 people to the Medicaid rolls because if my daughter needs medical care and all the friends that she has that I have met because they are in some situation similar to hers, they will all get moved to the back of the line, or we may force more doctors to just quit being doctors.
Yeah, but what if you're one of the ones who does get medical care under Medicaid because of this expansion? Then you're in a different situation. You're grateful, aren't you?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly the point. So when you start weighing this whole situation, I don't believe that it's about the dollars. It's about setting a system that will fairly and adequately give everybody health care. But I also believe, on the other side of the coin, that those people who are not involved in Medicaid at this point in time need to become involved with their own health care.
Involved in terms of what are you saying exactly?
I'm saying that they need to be educated as to why eating healthy, why daily exercise.
Preventive health care.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'll just say this. I heard on a competing radio show yesterday someone who decried wellness programs as being totally inept. That disturbed me.
Okay. David Van Aan, thank you very much. In our Des Moines studio, please stand by. Is this an opinion that you like, or do you differ here with David Van Aan's opinion? Perhaps you are affected by this debate, or will be affected, depending on whether Iowa expands Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act or not, or goes with the governor's vision. 1-866-780-9100, river-to-river at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Let's go to a caller. Charlotte is joining us from Ames. Hi, Charlotte. Welcome to our program. How do you fit into this conversation?
I used to have a good job. I used to have health insurance. And in fact, I had health insurance from 1984 through 2009. So I've seen a lot of different iterations of product and coverage during that period of time. And I would like to see the Medicaid expansion. Right now, I just work serial, temporary, and seasonal jobs, and I fit within the certainly 133% of poverty, and some years 100% of poverty. But the way they're predicting to do this, they're going to kick a lot of people off IowaCare that are on it now if they limit it to only 100% of poverty. I appreciate this previous call, your Wednesday person.
David Van Aan, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that he'll lose the ability to have service. But if you pay attention to the the Scenic and Popular Des Moines Register, you'll have seen that Wellmark has built a new headquarters. There's new hospitals in West Des Moines right across the street from still new hospitals. And there is a lot of capacity in the system.
Right. But also in talking with healthcare providers on this show and outside of this show, Charlotte, any healthcare provider will tell you now there'll be such a surge in demand that it's going to be a real challenge to keep up with that demand.
Well, I'm not sure. I used to see a doctor in West Des Moines, and I still see them sometimes. They'll do like one limited appointment a year so I can stay on the treatment for rosacea that I need and buy another pair of compression hose. And they actually have said that they're doing that for a lot of people because they've lost their insurance. They've lost their jobs. They've lost their insurance. And I've been going back to this office for, 6 years. And they have capacity because they have unserved people that they used to serve.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they can handle it.
Okay. Thank you, Charlotte, in Ames, for your perspective. 1-866-780-9100. Clay Masters, Iowa Public Radio State House reporter with this series this week. You could tell us a little bit more about Iowa Care. This is the governor's vision, right?
Well, actually, it's not the governor's vision anymore. The governor has introduced his own bill called the Healthy Iowa Plan, and the Republicans in the House just passed the bill last week. The governor likes to talk about his plan as some of the stuff that David was talking about, incentivizing healthy lifestyles and, as he often says, have more skin in the game. It would cost more out-of-pocket for individuals on the plan, and it would technically cover fewer people than Medicaid expansion. However, the thought there is that those who fall outside the income guidelines would get insurance through what the Affordable Care Act refers to as the exchange, which is law from Obamacare. Now, where the feet really get set to the fire is that IowaCare is set to expire at the end of this year, and that's why there's this urgency to get something done.
Okay, 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. We're talking with people who were featured in Clay Masters' series this week, people who have received Medicaid services. Clay, we want to play some tape from an interview you did with a woman named Ginger Klingenberg as part of this series. And to be clear, Clay, Ginger was on Iowa Care, and it's good you just explained the difference between that and the governor's vision. She was on Iowa Care when she was first diagnosed with an aneurysm, correct?
Yeah, she had an aneurysm, but she couldn't get to a doctor. I think we'll let her tell her story a little bit more. She was on Iowa Care. She lives up in Armstrong, Iowa, and we'll hear more from Ginger. I believe we have a clip here.
Here's Ginger, yeah.
It was 3 hours to Sioux City. It was only an hour and a half to Fort Dodge, but I wrote for a waiver because Fort Dodge is only an hour and a half. People go there. I live a mile from Sooth County, which was the cutoff point. And I was told, no, I had to go to Sioux City. Well, I finally found somebody that would take me to Sioux City, so I called to make an appointment just last August. And they couldn't get me in until October. And by then the aneurysm had dissected. I didn't even know that was what was wrong. I knew I had an aneurysm, but I didn't know it was that bad. And it had dissected, and I ended up in the emergency room in Estherville on the 11th, and they sent me to Broadlawn in Des Moines, and then from there it went to Iowa City because Broadlawn said they couldn't do anything right there right at that time.
And that's one of the major criticisms of Iowa Care is that there aren't enough health care providers in these less populous parts of Iowa. And when she went to Iowa City, her kids signed her up for Medicaid, and now she feels more comfortable because she can go to doctors that are closer mm-hmm. to her.
And so the argument there is that the Ginger not being able to find a doctor in her area caused her condition to get worse. Let's hear a little bit more of Ginger.
Well, I lost about 50 pounds. Well, it was about 40 pounds before I went into the hospital. I couldn't eat. I'd drink a glass of milk a day. That's all I could get in my stomach because it wouldn't digest. It would just, it couldn't go anywhere, I guess. And I could feel it in my belly. I could feel the heartbeat.
And Clay, eventually Ginger switched to Medicaid. When did this happen?
Yeah, that was, her, like I mentioned, her kids signed her up for Medicaid while she was She couldn't do it herself because she became disabled while she was in the hospital. And here's now Ginger explaining her care under Medicaid.
Well, at least now if something happened, I wouldn't avoid a doctor. Now, if I had to, I could go see someone else. I used to avoid doctors because the bills are incredible. And when you don't make good money, you don't have any money to pay doctors. That's why it got so far out of control. I had no doctor to go to. And then the prescriptions run out because you don't have a doctor to refill them. And then when you don't take your drugs, you get sicker.
Mm-hmm. So many stories behind the policies that we talk about, usually not connected with names. A real great part of your series, Clay, is to get the human stories. I think we have a caller on the line to get into our conversation right before we have to take a break. Jane in Newton, hi.
Hi. The reason I was calling is I heard the fellow talking about preventive care and don't have anything against preventive care, but I think there are a lot of medical conditions where preventive care really has no no part. I had breast cancer. My father had a brain tumor. My son had his tonsils out. You know, you can have a healthy lifestyle, but you still have those medical expenses for things that preventive care maybe doesn't really have a bearing on. And so I just think that the legislature should take part in the Medicaid expansion. The first 3 years, there is no cost to the state. After that, if they find that it's unbearable, maybe they can provide an escape provision. But I think it's a no-brainer for the first 3 years because that's covered by the federal government. So I guess that's my thought on Medicaid expansion.
Jane, thank you for your thoughts from Newton. Before we do go to break, quickly, David Van On, you've been sitting there. A response to anything that's been said in the last few minutes?
Well, the latest statement that it's 100% covered by the federal government is not true because one half of the administrative costs has to be covered by the state. So, and the thing about preventative, there are things that should not – preventative won't help, but we need to get those who are healthy but need to work on their preventive benefits so that they don't develop diabetes, they don't develop high blood pressure, they don't develop these things.
There's no doubt that a healthy lifestyle
absolutely
cannot prevent all things that could happen to you.
That's right.
It just gives you a better shot, right?
That's right. And the lady before who had the aneurysm, you know, that's a logical thing that bureaucracy caused the problem. Just a logical statement would say, get that lady to the closest hospital that we could possibly get her to.
That's a bureaucratic system problem.
Absolutely.
Okay, we have to go. David Van On, thank you for joining us in our Des Moines studio with your insights this half hour. Thank you, David.
Thank you very much for having me.
And we've got to take a break when we come back. Clay Masters will still be with us. We're wrapping up with a look at his series, Iowans on Medicaid, our State House reporter with us this hour. When we come back, though, we'll hear both sides of the debate. Michael Bussolo will join us, the governor's health care policy advisor, along with State Senator Pam Yoakum, a Democrat from Dubuque. What's your opinion on Iowa's debate over health care? Will it affect you? Do you support the expansion of Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act? Or do you think the governor's vision is a better one for our state? Weigh in on this. 1-866-780-9100. Tell us your story. River to River at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook, or tweet us at IPR Talk. Back with more after a short break. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. So good to have you with us on this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News on this cold, rainy day. We hope you're staying warm and dry next to your radio, tuned to Iowa Public Radio. Clay Masters, also with me, our State House reporter here at Iowa Public Radio. All this week, Clay has been talking with Iowans as a part of a series, Iowans Who Receive Medicaid Services, a series called Iowans on Medicaid. And we're trying to sort through some of the complexities of this issue, and there are plenty of them, Clay. Just to remind our listeners, so we're talking about Iowa Care. That's what presently low-income Iowans can be using to access health care. Healthy Iowa is a plan the governor is putting forward. make sure I'm getting this right now, Clay.
Yes, that you're sounding good so far.
Oh, right? Sounding good. Stop me in my tracks if I'm not. And then the democratically controlled Senate is pushing an expansion of the federal program Medicaid.
Joint federal-state health care program, Ben.
Oh, man. All right. Let's go back to a little bit more of your reporting. This is Sarah Garvin, who was featured in your Monday piece. Garvin went on Medicaid when she found out she was pregnant. Let's listen to her.
Because I went to the clinic here in town and I said, hey, I had a positive pregnancy test. What do I do now? And they said, well, we don't do that under Iowa Care. And I said, okay. So what do I do? And they said, well, you're probably going to have to get on Medicaid. And that's when I went through the application process for that. So that, again, I went online, got the application for it, submitted it, had to answer a few follow-up questions about my employment and my income to kind of assess whether I qualified or not. And then once they determined that I qualified, they, you know, sent me a letter, put me on the program, and that's when I started setting up appointments to kind of go forward with prenatal care. And since then, because I was going to the clinic in Iowa City at University of Iowa, I decided to go through them for all my prenatal care simply because I was in the system. I really liked my experience there, kind of felt like I knew the system better than I did here in town. So that's why we decided to go with them. Not that I couldn't get coverage here right in Muscatine, but just felt more comfortable.
Sarah Garvin from Clay, you're reporting this week in the series Iowans on Medicaid. Interesting there, a theme coming through, I don't know if you can identify other ones, is that it's potentially very difficult, even though you can get satisfactory care in many cases, it's potentially very difficult to navigate the system when you're sick.
Yeah, that's right. And the interesting thing about Sarah is she was on private health insurance and actually a biologist down in Florida. She and her husband moved to Muscatine to start a family, and they opened a gym. And so, you know, she talked about how strange it felt to have once had private health insurance and then, you know, now to own her own business and to say, you know, I can't afford to cover myself right now. And so that was a really interesting point from her. And she was one of the few people that I talked to, actually quite a few people that were really on the fence. They see, you know, she said there are problems with the system. And if you make the problem bigger, you make the problem. If you make the system bigger, you make the problems bigger. But at the same time, she said, you know, some people just can't afford to get private health insurance if they're just right over the income guidelines. So the most common theme, I think, from most of the people that I talked to was, you know, they had ideas, they had opinions, but they were on the fence.
Okay. And we want to talk to a couple people who are definitely not on the fence here, introduce them, and we want to get back to your calls as well. If you have an opinion on Iowa's debate over health care, 1-866-780-9100. Take advantage of our Facebook, post something there for us, or tweet us at IPR Talk. Joining us now, joining our conversation, the governor's health care policy advisor, Michael Busolo, is with us in our Des Moines studio. Michael, welcome.
Thank you, Ben. Good to be back with you.
Good to have you back on the program. Also in our studio in Des Moines, State Senator Pam Yoakum, a Democrat from Dubuque. Senator Yoakum, thank you for coming.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure.
Let's start with you, Senator Yoakum. Why should make the case, make your best case in 30 seconds to a minute, if I can say it that way, why Iowa should expand Medicaid?
Well, actually, there are several reasons. One, let me just be real clear. There's one thing I believe that we do agree on, and that is that the health insurance delivery system, whether it's Medicaid or a publicly financed system or a privately financed system, we need to make some changes in how that health care is delivered. And so the Senate plan, as well as the governor's plan, there might be some minor differences, but basically have said that we need to change how we are going to deliver health care. And we're going to move away from a fee-for-service model to a outcomes-based model. So we are attempting to change the entire way that we deliver health care and how it is paid for. And that is included in our Medicaid expansion. It's included in the Affordable Care Act.
And you think this will take care of the dramatically rising health care costs, the big concern here?
Actually, it should. And some of the experiments across the country that have received innovation grants have already demonstrated that changing how we deliver health care to rewarding outcomes and more focused on prevention and wellness is going to reduce overall health care costs in both the public and the private sector. Probably the biggest sticking point between the governor's plan, the House Republican plan, the Senate Democrats plan is, number one, what are all the benefits that are going to be included in that package? But more importantly is, how do we pay for it? Mm-hmm. And so under the Affordable Care Act, which allows states to opt into an expansion of Medicaid, and so let's talk about who that means. That is adults between the ages of 19 and 64 who currently are not eligible for Medicaid because their income, either they don't know they qualify because their income is below $11,000 a year, and quite frankly, if you're childless and an adult, you are not eligible. So the expansion would include those adults between 19 and 64 who earn less than $11,000 a year. And then it expands it and says, states, it's up to you to decide if you want to include adults between 19 and 64 who earn between approximately $11,000 a year and $15,000 a year and put them into the Medicaid program, okay, which is a state federal program.
There are a lot of details we can get into, Senator Yoakum. I wanted to give Governor Branstad's health care policy advisor a chance to reply by asking you, Michael Buslow, why not go with the Senate plan here? Why is Governor Branstad's Healthy Iowa a better path?
Well, first of all, Senator Yoakum mentioned that on the need for changing the system. Another thing we agree on is covering all Iowans. Both plans are proposing ways so that all Iowans have access to care, to affordable care, and especially to high-quality care. For Governor Branstad, he simply thinks that the Healthy Iowa plan would be more sustainable over the long term.
Why more sustainable?
First of all, we believe the state of Iowa, a state where we've balanced our budget and we have a nearly $1 billion surplus, where your legislator is your neighbor and accountability is a drive away, is a better partner for citizens who are going to rely on a health care plan than the federal government, who hasn't passed a budget in 4 years, runs a $1 trillion annual deficit, and is more than $17 trillion in debt.
Senator Yoakum, reply to that.
Sure.
More local control, isn't that better?
Well, actually, there is local control, even in our Medicaid plan, because you have accessibility to health care providers in your local community. So the Medicaid expansion allows a person without insurance, now in the Medicaid program, to go to the local doctor, the local hospital. The governor's plan is very different. It says, you know, as long as that provider or hospital is within 30 minutes or 30 miles from you, that's where you need to go. So quite frankly, the accountable care organizations, which is part of how we're going to reform how we deliver health care, are just quite frankly in their infancy stage of development. And so medical homes, medical health homes, all of those items are part of this new integrated health system that looks at a team approach on how you're going to provide health care to people. That will be part of the system. Now, here's how it's not the governor's plan and our plan are very different in terms of financing. The federal government has already told the states, if you come into the Medicaid system for the first 3 years, we will pay 100% of the cost. And, of course, the argument is, well, Medicaid, you know, the federal government can't be relied on. But let me tell you this. Medicaid has been part of this country's public health system for 50 years. And I will acknowledge that there are times that the federal government has reneged on some of its promises. But it has not on three entitlement programs, and we only have three, and it's Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security. So those are three entitlement programs the federal government has not reneged on.
Okay. In the interest of time, we only have about 10 minutes left, and I want to make sure Michael Buslow gets his fair share in here, too. But I do want to go to callers right now. Laura in Des Moines, welcome to our program. We have a few minutes left. What's your perspective?
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Go ahead, please.
So I apologize. My phone may die. So
okay, make it quick, then.
I'm one of those folks that is in between the guidelines of income. I think the expansion is a good thing for Iowa. I think it's pretty deplorable that an alternative was brought forth to the legislature so late in the game that's not doing due diligence on the governor's part. So if we're going to make changes, we have to work together. I like the idea of taking control of your health care, doing preventative care, because at this point, I'm at the point of catastrophic care. Mm-hmm. So that has to change, and there's no reason why this legislature can't get off its bum and work together and figure something out for the state of Iowa.
I'm sorry, cut you off a little early there. Laura in Des Moines, thank you very much. Michael Buslow, what about that? Where's the middle ground? Where can you find something here that both can signal as a success?
You know, I think the governor, the House, and the Senate have all signaled that we're clearly in favor of finding solutions for Iowans this session. And getting it done this session is for health care.
Okay, is the common ground, though? What she just asked.
Absolutely. Well, the common ground already exists in the sense that we've agreed that we want to cover everyone. We want to have access to affordable, high-quality health care for everyone. However, the governor has clearly stated that he refuses to add 115,000 Iowans to a Medicaid system that where the New England Journal of Medicine just found this week that does not significantly increase health outcomes. Mm-hmm. The main driver of health care costs in the nation, both in private and public plans, is bad health outcomes.
Yet a number of Republican governors, including, let's say, Chris Christie of New Jersey, Jan Brewer of Arizona, pushing to expand Medicaid in their states. And since some of the governor's colleagues in his party are accepting this expansion, do you think that the governor may change his mind?
The governor's absolutely open to working with everyone, both the House, the Senate, and we refuse to draw a line in the sand. However, we have offered a sustainable alternative that puts a focus on high-quality health care outcomes. The plan proposed by the Senate would study the use of ACOs. ACOs and accountable care organizations would be an integral part of the governor's plan beginning January 1st. And in fact, they are already in place in the private sector. All three major hospital systems have signed contracts with major health care insurers to provide these ACOs. We simply want to provide that high quality of health care to Iowans that are below the poverty level.
Well, let me just correct something, that our bill does not have a study. We actually have an advisory council to help with the development and implementation of integrated care system in our state, in the Medicaid system, the public insurance system. Let me just go back to the financing. I started saying the cost of the state for the first 3 years is 0%, and the federal government picks up 100% of the cost. The governor's plan, however, relies on a 42% state expenditure and a 58% federal expenditure. So let me just get down to bottom line since you're on a real tight frame here. So the bottom line is in year one, the end of 2014, the state will invest $1.4 million for administrative costs for the Medicaid program. On the other side of the fence, the governor's plan is going to have to find $113 million to finance his system. So about $112 million more than the Senate plan just from local state taxpayers. And then the amount of money that the federal government needs to invest in that program is about $60 million more than the Senate plan. So you're going to say, why is that? And that's because the governor puts into his plan or requires anyone who earns between $11,000 and $15,000 to go into the insurance exchange, buy a private plan. That private plan, that mechanism, costs the federal government about 50% more than Medicaid. The administrative overhead costs of Medicaid run between about 3%. The administrative overhead of private insurance plans are currently between 30 and 40%. Under the Affordable Care Act starting next January, that administrative cost to insurance companies is, they are told that 15%, that's it. That's as much as you can draw off the premiums you're collecting for your administrative overhead.
Senator Yoakum and Michael Buslow, we only have 5 minutes left. Michael Buslow, quick response there, but before we wind up here and look toward the future.
Absolutely. I think it is important to look at financing, and I appreciate the senator's look at that federal financing. You know, the Affordable Care Act is scheduled to cost $1.3 trillion over the next 10 years. But let's look back here at home. If you look at general fund dollars, when we're finally – Iowa would be paying their 10% as opposed to what the Healthy Iowa plan costs, the Healthy Iowa plan is less expensive. However, what's most important and what's most important to the governor is that there is one plan that's been proposed, the Healthy Iowa plan, that will reimburse for quality beginning on January 1st of next year, and one plan that will incentivize healthy behaviors for the members on the plan. And that's the Healthy Iowa plan.
And that's where we agree, because both plans have those features in on wellness and prevention and changing how health care is delivered. So that's already an agreement, something we agreed to a long time ago, and the legislature started that work already in 2006. So we have been working on that for a long time, and it's agreed to. The difference is what are the benefits, who's covered, and what's it going to cost.
Thank you.
I have a hard time believing we're going to raise property taxes in order to pay for anyone's plan.
We're coming up close to the end of the hour. Democratic State Senator Pam Yoakum, Michael Buslow of Governor Branstad's health care policy advisor. Clay Masters, you're there as well. You're our State House reporter. Give us an idea, perhaps use our guests to give us an inkling of how this may come out.
Well, you heard the difference between both Michael and Senator Yoakum. You know, yesterday, both the Senate Majority Leader Mike Gronstahl and Speaker of the House Republican Craig Paulson both think they'll come to some kind of conclusion in the weeks to come, but you know that there is some differences that need to be resolved. And with the argument that the feds won't live up to their promise and the state will get stuck footing more of the bill, there really is this gray area for to seeing how this compromise will play out. Some have told me they expect education reform and property taxes, the other two big ones, to get resolved. And some are saying we might see a special session in the fall. So maybe we'll hear something different as the weeks unfold.
Let's try to squeeze in one more caller, John in Iowa City. Hi, John.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead. We have a very limited time, but go ahead. You're a physician, I see on my screen.
Yes, and I really agree that the Medicaid expansion is a good idea. I disagree with the first caller on a couple things, although I do like the wellness programs and healthy lifestyles that he espoused, and also people getting involved and educated in their own health care. But I really think that we need to expand coverage to low-income people without health care insurance, and I really feel that this Medicaid plan would make sense financially and ultimately save money for the whole health care system.
Why don't you like the Healthy Iowa plan of the governor?
I agree that it would increase property taxes, and it does sound like the administrative costs are significantly higher by what Senator Yoakum described. Those are two things, and I like that. Those are big reasons, actually. But let me give you a quick example of
very quick, 30 seconds, and I want to go back to Michael Buslow.
Okay. You know, I think that really looking at a lifestyle is important. A great example I give is that if you take a 13-year-old kid who is not exercising and eating terrible food, if you did an appropriate intervention with the whole family to get them into exercise and better eating habits, it could save a lifetime of huge expenses, preventing that kid from going to type 1 to type 2, type 2 to type 1 diabetes, and it would be both costly and impossible to cure that disease. So I think that best bang for the buck is preventive health care, no matter where we end up.
Okay, John, thank you for Iowa City. A call from Iowa City, Michael Buslow. Quick way to what's your final word out to Iowans listening?
I agree with the good doctor. The Healthy Iowa plan will reimburse for quality health care outcomes and incentivize healthy behaviors right away, January 1st. That's how we're going to get control of our health care costs in our system. And the governor and the senators and the House of Representatives are all committed to health care, common sense health care solutions for Iowans this session. I think it will get done.
Michael Bussolo, thank you. Final word from Senator Pam Yoakum. I asked Michael this earlier. Where's the compromise? Where is the compromise as far as you see it? And how long will it take to get there? Very quickly, please.
Well, I'm hoping we do reach one. I think, first of all, I've already mentioned it. We've already agreed on prevention, wellness, and change it to an integrated health system. So that's agreed to, both plans, done deal in terms of my stand on that piece of our discussion. The biggest sticking point is how we're going to pay for it. And when the Affordable Care Act was designed by Congress, they did that very carefully under a pay-as-you-go system so that it did not add to the federal deficit. Unfortunately, by the end of year two, by the end of 2015, the governor's plan actually adds $260 million to the federal deficit. So, you know, we can talk all we want about a federal deficit, but you've got a plan that has already made sure that the Medicaid expansion would not do that. In terms of $1.3 trillion being spent by 2020 on health care, heck, we're spending $2 trillion a year right now in this country on health care.
State Senator
Pam
Yoakum.
We need to bring the costs down, and I believe we're going to get there.
Thank you very much. We've come to the end of our hour. Thank you so much, State Senator Pam Yoakum, also Michael Bussolo, the governor's health care policy advisor, for coming into our studio today. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Clay, for the wonderful series this week, our State House reporter. And
yeah, thanks, Ben.
we'll hear the next chapter as this develops. You've got a lot to do
sure
in
thing.
The coming year. Thanks
sure
again.
Thing.
River to River is produced by Sarah Bowden, Emily Woodbury, and Ben Stanton. Technical support from Dennis Reese. The executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.